Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Gallen. Coming up on March 22nd is World Water Day, and I have three people from Michigan Tech here to tell me all about it. Joining me in the studio right now is Joan Chatty. She is the director of the Center for Science and Environmental Outreach. Latika Gupta is a assistant professor of economics, and Daisuke Minakata is the professor for civil and environmental engineering. Folks, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, thank you, Rick.
Now, let's go ahead and start with World Water Day. Who could tell me what that is?
So World Water Day is celebrated worldwide, and the theme is picked by the United Nations. There are events happening all around the world. Here at Michigan Tech, we've been doing this for about 10 years. There's a different theme. We have a keynote speaker. We have a panel discussion. We have poster competition, an art exhibit. And this year, we've added a number of other items to the agenda, like a water footprint installation. We've also added, we've also had a documentary screening every year. But one other thing, a new thing that we have this year is a dirty water competition, which is an exciting, fun competition between different teams. Around the world, we have different celebrities supporting the event. So this year, we have flyers around campus saying, these are the celebrities supporting World Water Day. How are you supporting it? And I wish there was some way to show this picture on the radio, but we can't. But I can tell you some of the celebrities promoting this event are celebrities like Pitbull, Maroon 5, Sting. We do have a wide variety of celebrities promoting the event, and it's a great way to share your support as well. So the United Nations has this message saying, whatever you do, wherever you are, make sure you make it about water on the 22nd, right? So I think that's the message that we want to send out today as well.
Well, we're going to be drilling down into each of these different events that you have going on and talk about them a little bit more in depth. But let's first talk about the importance of doing a day like this.
Well, the UN, the data tells us that at least 2 billion people in the world do not have clean drinking water, and 3 billion do not have access to wastewater treatment. So managing your wastewater is a big deal.
Have you found any greater interest in Michigan since some of the more highly publicized water issues like the Flint water crisis? Is there more people here in Michigan that are now becoming aware that this is a problem?
Well, actually, my most recent issue by journal Science Scope by the National Science Teachers Association was entirely dedicated to water. And a number of the articles were mentioned Flint, Michigan. So it's not just in Michigan. It is across the country. There is a lot more interest in water.
Go ahead.
And then also, if we look at the large Great Lakes, actually, we have so many wastewater treatment plants located around the lake, and those wastewater treatment plants discharge some of the treated wastewater, but we have a lot of issues regarding chemical contamination or some pathogen present in the surface water. So those wastewater impaired issues are very, very significant issues in the Great Lakes.
So some of the, thank you so much, Joan and Daisuke, for that. One of the issues that's arising here is that not only are we polluting the environment, we're also losing some valuable nutrients that could be recovered, that could be reused. For example, in agriculture, they could be reused for as fertilizers, for example. We can reuse water for green spaces. We can use them in gardens. We can use them in cooling systems. We can use them in irrigation. So we are using this valuable resource that's 80% of the wastewater is just being released into the environment without being treated, and we're just losing this valuable resource that can be recovered.
What constitutes wastewater?
Anything that goes down the drain at your home. That is what is getting treated in communities, as well as businesses and some industry. All of the wastewater, what goes down your drain, whether it's in the kitchen, the bathrooms, or related to the manufacturing process, ends up in the wastewater treatment plant.
Now, we're familiar with that process. stuff goes down the drain, and then it goes somewhere else. We don't know where. And then when we turn on the faucet, we have water again. That's about as much as most people know in their homes what happens to water and the process of water. And, you know, and I'll just say for myself, I mean, I don't think about what happens to the water after, you know, it goes down and through the toilet or down the drain. And I certainly don't think about, you know, much where the water comes other than, hey, it's clean and it tastes good.
Correct. And so what you are pointing out is that there's two types of treatment. There's water treatment, which is before you drink it, making sure that it's clean. Our water around here is coming from groundwater, but it could, you know, could be coming from Lake Superior or a river. And in that case, I mean, we're always making sure that it meets requirements for drinking water. Then once it goes down the drain, it has to get treated. And there's different levels of treatment. And I could mention that when there's primary, where we're just removing the chunks, and you can imagine what the chunks are. And then we do secondary, and we're doing biological treatment. So we're removing the oxygen demand. So we're not going to use up all the oxygen in the water. Now the fish die. And then there is tertiary treatment. And that is where we have Daisuke Minakata, who is an expert in further treatment of water.
Right, so typical wastewater treatment plant, we borrow the ability of microbiological activity, and then that basically they chew. We feed a lot of nutrition and microbiological activity actually activated, and then they destroy those organics. So that's the primary or secondary treatment, but as John mentioned, still like a nitrogen or phosphorus actually remained, so that using those tertiary advanced wastewater treatment plant, we try to remove some of the nitrogen, phosphorus, because if we don't really remove those, that will significantly impact the surface water where we usually discharge those treated wastewater.
Now, the wastewater with our modern treatment plants, after it's been treated, where does the water go?
Lake, surface water.
And that's how it's put back in the system.
Yes.
Okay. Well, see, I learned some things when I attend Michigan Tech's different presentations that they have on water. So, you know, trying to understand a little bit. The World Water Day here is going to give people like me a chance to understand a whole lot more. So let's talk about what you have lined up for that day. We'll start off with the art installation that you were mentioning.
It's a beautiful art installation. The title of it is Water's Edge, paintings by Danielle Klaus Gast. She's a Wisconsin artist. These are being, or actually have already been hung in the Great Lakes Research Center. And this display will actually go through June. Yeah. And they're beautiful. So I do really encourage, the public is welcome to come in the building. And it's right in the lobby area of the first and second floor. So do make a point of getting there in the next couple of months to take a look.
And what else? Keynote speaker, can you go ahead and introduce him for us?
Yes, we will have World Wastewater expert, Professor George Shubanoglass from University of California, Davis. So he's an environmental engineer, but he has done a lot of things related to environmental engineering education or environmental engineering discipline. So he's actually going to talk about planned portable reuse. So his focus is wastewater is not only just the wastewater. So we are trying to utilize those treated wastewater and to create some drinking water from there. So he's going to address some of the important wastewater reuse issues. So that's keynote lecture is going to be at 5 p.m. on Tuesday, March 21st, in Dow Building at the Michigan Tech campus.
But wait, we just talked about what wastewater was and where it goes. So, you know, you're talking about drinking it again.
So if you go to the arid area, for example, California or Texas, you might have heard that their water resources are totally running out. So what they have to do is they need to start drinking treated wastewater. Otherwise, they don't really have any water resources. So what we are trying to do is, yes, try to treat that treated wastewater using more advanced technologies to create safe, potable drinking water to the public people.
Has that been done at any other place?
It's interesting that Daisuke mentioned that, because if you look at sub-Saharan Africa, for example, only 5% of sub-Saharan Africa has access to piped water. And if we talk about issues of climate change, you know, it's interesting when we think about climate change, we always associate it with too much water. But experts say that, you know, when we also need to think about too little water when it comes to climate change, because areas like Central Africa, East Asia, Middle East, they're already facing water problems because of climate change, and that's going to get worse. So we're going to see too little water, and we're already seeing that in California. We're already seeing that in Middle East. And one way in which we can address that is by water recycling. And that's exactly what Daisuke was talking about, and it's already being done.
We have kind of a famous example at Michigan Tech, where the chair of the Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering, David Hand, he was part of a team that developed a process to clean water aboard the NASA spaceship. So astronauts, they have been already drinking their wastewater, because there's no way we could afford to haul all of water that they might use for 6 months at 8 pounds a gallon, $20,000 a pound. They had to reuse their water. So it's being done already.
Well, I was going to say, what is this, some space age technology? And then you come on. It
is.
Kind of really, really is. Daisuke, you've worked with the keynote speaker in the past.
Yes, actually, it's ongoing. So Dr. George Shibanoglass is actually the technical advisory committee for my funded research project. So almost every month we have a conference call, and he provides some technical insight or some technical advice to our research team. And based on that, yes, we do some research project related to the water reuse.
Okay. How long have you been working on that project?
About a year.
Okay.
That's a 2 years project.
Okay. Anything you can share from it?
Yes. What we are trying to do is, for example, if you look at the chemical contaminations, at this moment, the United States EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, regulate only 50 or 60 organic compound for drinking water standard. However, if you look at the entire bulk of the chemicals, do you know how many chemicals we have in this world, or how many chemicals are registered in largest chemical abstract society?
I'm afraid to ask.
That's about already 120 million. So if we try to research each chemicals by each, it will probably take centuries, a lot of time, and then it's really time-consuming, and also it's very expensive. What we are trying to do for this project is to develop some comprehensive model to simulate whether the advanced wastewater treatment technology can actually remove those of the organic chemical contaminants, and how much efficiency can we get. So we are trying to develop a very comprehensive practical models for wastewater treatment peoples.
Okay. Larika, can you talk about the panel discussion?
I'm glad you asked. The panel discussion is a great opportunity for different minds to come together and talk. We have a great panel this year. We have George the keynote speaker on the panel, and we also have folks from the Keweenaw Bay Indian community. We also have representatives from Kohler Corporation, and Neil Hutzler, who is a former Michigan Tech professor and also board members of the Portage Lake Sewage Authority is on the panel as well. The theme of the panel is wastewater, health, energy, ecosystems, and sustainable communities. The message that we really want to send out there, or the issues that we want to discuss in this panel discussion, are how wastewater can be a source of sustainable development, how it could be a source of employment, how it can be a source of social well-being and ecological health. So those are the things that we want to discuss, and we do invite the public to come and participate and ask questions. And I think, you know, let's face it, we don't, like you said, wastewater is neglected. It is something that we don't want to think about. There's a gross factor to it. There's an ick factor to it. So we don't really want to think about it. And we do want people to come and ask those questions, those icky questions, right? So we do want people to come and ask those questions that they wouldn't normally ask. And we do want people to ask questions about how they can get jobs in this area, in the field of wastewater, or how we can harness energy from it. For example, in Melbourne, they are actually creating thermal energy from sewage water, which is amazing. They're actually generating enough thermal energy from wastewater, providing heating and cooling for about 2,000 commercial buildings. But in the United States, our regulations are outdated, and there's also that perception of risk. So we do want to get that discussion started. So how can we actually tap that resource that we already have flowing under our ground, beneath our cities and towns? How do we tap those resources? So we do want to get that discussion started, so we can actually talk about how can we tap the resources that have been neglected? How can we tap the energy, this energy source that has been neglected, and how can we create jobs?
Now, you touch on a little something there, just you know, earlier you were talking about, you know, people who are living in areas where water is scarce or becoming scarce, and now we live in one of the areas where it's the most abundant fresh water on the planet here. So what would interest people in this area to be concerned, or, you know, to explore uses of wastewater? And you touched on a number of them. It doesn't, you know, you don't have to be completely absent of having water to, you know, have an interest or have uses of the wastewater.
Well, people are not always all going to live here, number one. So people are going to move to other places, and water is going to be a bigger issue in some of these other places. In addition, we have been talking about water, but Lotika did bring up the energy connection. And so even when you're using water at home, you can go, oh, well, what the heck, we've got plenty of water, but you are heating that water. So when you're heating it for your showers, bath, washing machine, dishwasher, all that, that costs you energy too, if you're having to heat extra water that you really didn't need because you weren't being efficient in your use. So it is something that is going to affect us. We're all connected. You know, we talk about our global economy. So whether or not it's like right here, it still matters because it affects people around the world.
Yeah, and the certain economic opportunities.
Right, so that there are economic opportunities to be created from that. We already sort of have some of the infrastructure in place. We already have the wastewater pipes beneath our cities, and we just need to tap that resource and use it for some purposes that we haven't quite tapped yet. Use it for agriculture, use it for irrigation, use it for developing thermal energy. So those are ways in which we can actually use it here, right here in the Upper Peninsula.
Now, there's a lot of learning will be going on that day, but there'll also be some fun. You've got a competition going on.
Yeah, this is the first time that we're trying to do an activity that'll involve the community as well as the students at Michigan Tech. So we're calling it the Dirty Water Competition. And the goal is, can they clean that dirty water and make it clean enough that one would consider drinking it? Of course, nobody is going to be asked to drink their the water product that they create. But we're going to put into that water what would typically go down the drain at a person's home. And so they're going to get a cup of dirty water, and then they'll get the typical, I call it an environmental engineering toolkit. They might use various types of filters, sand filters, activated charcoal filters, gravel filters, alum, and screens and others that you would have at the wastewater treatment plant. And teams of 3 to 4, we're looking for adults, high school students, Michigan Tech students, anyone who wants to try their hand at becoming an environmental engineer and having to design the process to clean wastewater.
We got a note earlier this week from the Copper Country Recycling Initiative that they're looking to put together a team, you know, so I think they're thinking of the all-star recycling team there. So, but, you know, I would place my money on a group of Michigan Tech students, too. So.
Well, you might be surprised. We'll all be surprised. So let me just state when this is going to take place. 4 to 5 p.m. Wednesday, March 22nd. It'll be in the Memorial Union building at Tech in the Commons. That's the ground floor. And we do have an online registration. Since nobody, I can't quite get that information out over the program here, they could just contact me, Joan Chatty, and that's jchatty@mtu.edu, and I can forward them the online application.
Okay.
Thanks.
And the Green Film Series, that is also part of the World Water Day, and you have special films lined up for just for this event?
Yes. So this year the film we'll be showing as part of our World Water Day is Last Call at the Oasis. And I do like to, when I'm doing programs with students, I'll ask them, how long can you live without water? And, you know, they're getting pretty good. I mean, they're getting around the 3 to 5 days. But then I'll say, well, and how long can you live without petroleum? Forever. Ah, so water is pretty darn important, right? Because you can't live more than 3 days. And I always say, you know, on that third day, you're not doing very well. And especially if you're an infant, an elderly person, you weren't healthy, you know, you are not doing well. So you really need to have this water. Well, water is becoming an issue, as Lotika was mentioning earlier, shortage of clean water. And so this film is going to highlight that and how it's impacting people around the world as not having access to adequate, clean drinking water. And also the whole issue of privatization. You know, is having clean water a right, or is this just if you can afford to pay for it? So this film will look at these issues with experts from around the world, and that will be showing from 7 to 8:30 on Thursday, March 23rd at the Forestry Building downstairs in the Hesterberg Hall. So it's open to the public. It's free. Refreshments. We hope we see a lot of people turn out for it.
Okay. So, and the point on this, the day after World Water Day, that's on the 22nd, that the film is taking place, so that for people are confused.
Absolutely. Right. We're kind of looking at the whole week is going to be in our World Water Day week. And so, yeah, Thursday, March 23rd.
All right. We've covered a lot of material. Is there a particular place people can go where they can see a schedule and, you know, see the the registration events?
So you can go to mtu.edu/Great Lakes to find out the details of the events. And we do have a lot of things going on. Some of the other things that that we didn't really get a chance to talk about are things like the water footprint installation, which is going to be in the Michigan Tech Mob Commons, so where you get a chance to see how much water you use in a day, for example. So it's basically a physical installation. We also have a poster competition where students basically create posters of their research, the work that they've done on water. There are also going to be some posters on the theme of wastewater. We do want students to participate in this, and we do welcome the public to come and look at the posters. The poster session with students will be on Tuesday, March 21st from 3 to 5 in the Dowell Lobby at the Michigan Tech campus. And the water footprint display will be from March 20th to 23rd in the Memorial Union Building. So we do welcome the public to come and participate in all of our events.
So definitely the week of events like you were mentioning, Joan.
Right. And I do want to make sure we thank our sponsors for this event. They include the Great Lakes Research Center, the Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering, Department of Geological and Mining Engineering and Sciences, the Department of Social Sciences, the Center for Science and Environmental Outreach, the Ecosystem Science Center, Sustainable Futures Institute, Department of Biological Sciences, and Visual and Performing Arts. So we have a lot of folks cross campus supporting and participating in this event.
We definitely live in an area where we can almost take water for granted because we have so much fresh water. We use it for recreation. No water shortages here. And this is, I think, a good event for people to take part in to get an understanding of just, you know, we call it our most precious resource. See just how precious it is. And, you know, we don't have an infinite supply, even though you take a lot of buckets out of Lake Superior before you notice a difference. But, you know,
we're not making any more water. Yeah. What we have is what we have.
Good point. Good way to put it. All right, Joan Latica and Daisuke, thank you very much for coming on the program and telling us all about it.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.